Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, on this remarkable morning, we thank you that you are the one who rules over our lives, that you have good purposes for the child to be baptized, for those to be confirmed and received, for Scott and his family. We ask now that as we open your word, we would be open to your word, ready to receive everything you have for us in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, it's a great privilege to be with you, especially this morning, with all that we're going to be doing. I think you're going to find it powerful because it will be a picture, a snapshot, maybe a photo album of different important stages in the Christian life, particularly baptism and confirmation or reception. Public opportunities to declare the Lordship of Jesus that may have been declared for you as a child. And of course, Scott will be committing himself to the ministry the Lord has called him to lead. Very exciting morning. I want to take you back to a time when I was a child. I was probably about 11, and my brother Brett was 10, and my brother Clay was 9. We were somewhat close together in age. Clay was born before I turned 2, with Brett in between. We were in the back seat of a station wagon. Some of you remember station wagons? My parents in front, heading to a ski trip. I believe it was up in Vermont. I don't remember that detail exactly. What I do remember is that on the way there from Connecticut, there was a blizzard. And it got to be night. And some of you realize that headlights then are not as bright as headlights now. We got momentarily stuck in a snowdrift. Later, we were briefly lost. There was no such thing as a GPS. There were no signs. Turned around a few times. And amidst of all that, I look back and I think my poor parents, one of us, I don't remember which one, but asked the historical question that all children ask on trips. You can say it with me. Are you there yet? Are we there yet? I'm just glad we were not killed at that moment. A similar question is asked of Jesus after the resurrection, before the ascension, before he goes to be with his Father at his right hand. Acts chapter 1. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And essentially the question they're asking is, are we there yet? And Jesus essentially answers, no. He says, it's not for you to know times or seasons, that the Father is fixed by his own authority. It's not yet. Something has to happen. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria, in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Something has to take place. The evangelization of the world before Jesus will return and bring the kingdom in fully. So meanwhile, we're here, and the kingdom is not fully realized yet. And all I want to talk about this morning is where we are now. We are here on earth without the kingdom fully realized yet. And then I want us to look at the there. I want to look at here, life in this world, and I want to look at there very briefly. We see in Luke chapter 6 the contrast between the values of the sinful world and the values of the kingdom of God as it comes in its fullness. Luke 6:24, listen for the values of the world. Jesus says, woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. What are the values of the world? They're right in front of us. One is rich or successful or having wealth, having what you want. The next is satisfaction, fullness. Your desires and your hungers met. The next one is winning. Now, you may think that's stretching a little bit. It just says, woe to you who laugh now. But you have to understand, as Tim Keller explains helpfully in one of his sermons, that the word here for laugh is a kind of mocking laughter. It's the kind of laughter you have when you say, I won, you lost. That kind of laughter. And finally, woe to you when all people speak well of you. So the values of the world, the things that the world wraps itself around and we are affected by as well, is a desire for wealth and success, for satisfaction, having our needs and comforts, desires are all met, for winning, and finally for popularity. That's where we are. That's the values of here. The other day I was having my blood taken. Always fun. And I was sitting in the waiting room, and next to me on one of the seats was a fashion magazine. I don't generally look at fashion magazines, but I thought, well, that'll be interesting. I got about 6 pages into looking at it, mostly ads, and I realized what I was looking at was the photo album of this world's values. The underlying message was, dress like these people, wear the right perfume, drive the right car, and you will arrive. But instead, Jesus says to those who follow him that we are not there yet, that his kingdom is not yet here. So beforehand, he says in Luke 6:20, blessed are you who are poor. In other words, who are not trying to get every need met, everything satisfied, all the wealth, all of the success. Those are not your driving values. You're willing to let go of things, to have less in your life. For yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry, similar now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now. Why would we weep? Two reasons. Weep at the condition of the world we're in. You cannot look at the daily news and be unaffected as a Christian. And we're to weep with those who weep. We're to be those who care about those who are hurting. And blessed are you when people hate you. Well, that's sort of the opposite of popularity. And when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil. I heard a story yesterday told at a meeting of university explaining their ministry and mission to people in this area of a young woman, a Chinese woman, who came to a meeting and knew virtually nothing of the gospel, but by the power of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the word, she came to faith powerfully, and I won't tell you the whole story, but she then immediately turned to this group of other Chinese students and said, you have to believe in the Lord Jesus. And then she moved on in the next few days. It was her second day in the country. Third day, she began to share the gospel with people on her campus in the area. And she came back to her leader and said, I don't understand why people aren't all responding to Jesus. Why she was getting excluded and reviled and spurned. But they're living in a different world. They're not living in the kingdom. Hopefully they, like she, will come into that kingdom. Two different systems in conflict. Two different sets of values. It's interesting to note that while most of the hope in these verses is in the future, you shall, you rejoice, because of something coming, your reward is in heaven. The first one is present. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. It's now. We're already experiencing the kingdom if we let go of the values of having our needs met and being wealthy and successful. If we recognize that we are poor, needy in the things of God, no matter how much we have the kingdom of God now. Because we are forgiven disciples of Jesus now. So that's here. How about there? Well, we could spend a day looking at the description of heaven in Revelation chapter 7. But I want you to listen to part of it again and realize that it's linked to what Jesus has said in Luke chapter 6 as he's talking about the values of the world and the values of the kingdom. But I want you to listen to these words both with your mind and with your heart. When my son Peter, as a baby, was getting baptized, Cliff Westbrook, Rebecca's father, happened to be the reader that day. It happened to be All Saints Sunday, Sunday commemorating All Saints, just like today. And as Cliff began to read this passage, all of a sudden it hit him, and he just started to cry and could barely get himself pulled together. And I thought, if you don't experience it that way, if I don't experience it that way, we're not paying attention. It's interesting, this is one of the few places in the church year where we have two New Testament readings and not an Old Testament reading. And what's going on there? Partially because in Revelation 7, what you're seeing is a recapitulation of themes that are running throughout the Old Testament of the coming of the kingdom. Revelation 7:15. Listen with heart and mind. Therefore they, those who are in white robes, those who've gone through a difficult time, those who are now in heaven despite their persecution, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So the question before us this morning is, which values drive us? Which values drive you? Those here on earth or those of the kingdom in its eventual fullness? Where's your hope placed? Here or there? Where is your confidence? Here or there? I've just come across the writings of a Puritan named Walter Marshall, a pastor in the late 1600s. He says that there are four gifts that we need if we're going to be joyful and fruitful members of God's kingdom. And he points out their gifts. These are things to be asking God for. These are things that we need from him. He's not saying that we can get there by ourselves. In fact, he's saying just the opposite. Without God helping us in these areas, we will never get close to where he wants us. Four gifts. Let me just say them briefly. They're all marks of the kingdom of God. We need our hearts pointed and leaning in the right direction, he says. We need to be reconciled to God and at peace with him. We need to be confident of the heavenly future that we will joyfully share with God. And we need to know that we will have the necessary power both to desire and to do what is required, and to do it with excellence, until we come to that future joy awaiting us. Hearts pointed in the right direction, reconciled to God and at peace with him, confident of the heavenly future, and that we will have the power. Start praying those things for yourself. We cannot do what God has for us to do if we are fearful, anxious Christians wondering if God has loved us. We may do some right things, but we'll be doing them out of a sense of being a servant rather than the sense of being a child. All of those values come out of understanding the difference between the values of the kingdom of God and the values of this world. So as we come to baptism today, a word to the parents. Will you point your child not only to the future here, but to their future there? To those be confirmed and received, will people hear you talk only about life here, or will they hear about your hope there? And to Scott, this is a great moment. Well done. Congratulations to Kathleen and your family as well. You would not be here without them. So Scott, continue to point people to there. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians can be translated into your ministry goals, really ministry goals for all of us, but as you head into the diaconate, think of these as your goals, that the people you teach and care for by the work of the Holy Spirit in them and in you, that they may have the eyes of their hearts enlightened and may know what is the hope to which he has called them, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. With the Lord's help here, point them there. We should all be looking forward to the day we will be gathered around the throne with all the saints. And there we will understand the full nature of our salvation, which was purchased for us on the cross, where Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, died for each one of us. And there we will join in that great chorus of Revelation 7:10. We will be crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, in this wonderful day, help our eyes be set on the things above. Help our hope to be in you and your eternal purposes for us. Help us all to be recipients of your power. First of all, to understand, to be enlightened about your great love and promises toward us, but also power to share that good news with others. We ask your Holy Spirit to bless the child to be baptized, to be empowering those to be received and confirmed, and especially to be strengthening Scott for his ministry ahead. Be glorified in all of us this day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.